welcome. I'm your host, the trillest MBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Today's episode was recorded Monday, August 6, 2018. It's the follow-up show to episode 7, Internship Midpoint, Summer Shmoney Moves Part 2. In this episode, we talk about what happens when you don't secure the summer shmoney bag and you don't get a full-time offer after your summer internship. I have two special guests joining me for today's episode. First, from episode 7, Internship Midpoint, Summer Shmoney Moves Part 2, I have Jessica Banks back. Jessica is a former intern at the previous blue chip CPG that I actually worked for. She is smart and ambitious, and she is definitely one to watch. Jessica holds her MBA from the University of Alabama. She also holds the most recent title for the National Black MBA Association case competition. She was on the winning team, y'all. She is a go-getter. She's a rock star, and she is for certain ready to take the corporate world by storm. I was fortunate enough to meet Jessica at the National Black MBA Conference, where we recruited her for our MBA summer internship program. My second guest is someone I'm proud to call my friend. Nikayla Matthews Akome is the host of the Side Hustle Pro podcast, the first and only podcast to spotlight bold Black women entrepreneurs who have scaled from side hustle to profitable business. Launched in 2016, the podcast has been named The Perfect Entrepreneurship Podcast by Mashable, earned over 1 million downloads, and amassed a loyal social media following of over 50,000 aspiring entrepreneurs. Nikayla is also the founder of Side Hustle Pro LLC, a podcasting and marketing agency that shines a light on untold narratives. Nikayla works intensively with emerging podcasters to create and launch their own podcasts, grow their influence through targeted social media marketing, and build a profitable business. Born in Jamaica and raised in the Bronx, Nikayla is an alumna of the University of Pennsylvania and the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. Her professional experience spans digital marketing, ad sales, and social media strategy for NPR, Google, MTV Networks, and more. I am so excited about the discussion that you are about to hear. If you know anyone who did not convert their internship to a full-time offer, you have to share this episode with them. You have to encourage them to listen to this conversation, and you have to continue to encourage them to let them know that they're going to be okay.
This call is being recorded.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Nikayla.
Hey, hey. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi.
Hi.
So, ladies, what we all have in common is we all three have our MBAs, number one. Number two, we all interned at big dog companies for our summer internship. And number three, we all three did not get our offers.
Hall of Fame.
We have a lot in common. And number four, we're just fine. Everything turned out just fine. And so I have this quote-unquote cliffhanger with Jessica just to talk about her experience that she had, because I felt like I wanted people to know, like, hey, if your summer's going like this, here may be some things you can do to mitigate in the middle. But then I also wanted to come back to them and say, hey, so your summer didn't go so great. You didn't get an offer. It's not the end of the world. The name of this episode is You Didn't Get the Offer, Put Your Tears Away. Because I don't know about you guys, but when I found out I didn't get my offer from J&J, I bought a pack of golden Oreos, and I cried, and I ate a whole pack of golden Oreos.
I definitely cried.
I remember receiving the call right before I went to Las Vegas like celebrate, you know, going back to my MBA for my second year. I was crying on a plane to Vegas.
Right. I was on fall break in Miami, cried like in my bikini when I was supposed to be going to the beach.
Oh no, you guys. This is so sad. So today I want to start out. I want you guys to introduce yourselves, and I'll start with you, Jessica, since you're the baby of MBA on the phone.
Okay. I am Jessica Banks. I recently graduated May 2018 with my MBA specializing in data analytics and strategy. And I currently reside in Washington, D.C.
Very good. And you are fully employed.
Fully employed and paid.
Yes. Amen. And Nikayla.
Sure. So my name is Nikayla Matthews Okome. I am a 2015 graduate of the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. I specialize in marketing and interned in ad sales. I currently work for myself after 2 years of working post-MBA. I jumped and made the leap in late 2017 and went out on my own.
Very good. And for everybody who doesn't already know, Nikayla is the founder and host of Side Hustle Pro, a fabulous podcast that features African-American entrepreneurs and is all about focusing on how to help people do exactly what she's done, take her passion and turn it into from side hustle to a pro.
Yeah. Is that right? Yes. Thank you so much.
And as far as me, the old head on here, I graduated from Indiana University Kelley School of Business in 2010. I am on medical leave right now, and I am in the job market looking for my next opportunity. I'm not quite ready to go off on my own just yet, but I have been working in corporate America since the dawn of time, it feels like. But the past 8 years, I've been working for a number of CPG companies focusing in marketing. And the reason why I wanted to do this podcast is that I wanted people to know the real truth about this process and these jobs and this whole MBA. And I want people to understand that you're going to have ups and downs. Sometimes you're going to get jobs. Sometimes you're going to get downsized. Sometimes life is just not going to go the way you want it. However, I've never seen anybody stay down flat on their face at all. And I know that a particular time for a lot of people is after their internship, and you've put your heart and soul into this 10 to 12 weeks of your life trying to get this coveted full-time offer for when you graduate and come back. And what a lot of people don't realize is the majority of people don't get offers. Did you guys know that?
I think now we do. Yeah, I can't remember if I knew that at the time, but it makes sense. And it doesn't feel like that, though, at the time. It feels like everybody has a job.
Because a lot of people are lying.
A lot of people are lying.
A lot of people are not being honest about what's happening with them because, you know, everybody's trying to save face and play this game. And I remember I interned at Johnson & Johnson in their healthcare division, and I didn't have a manager my summer. Like, my manager, the person who was supposed to be my manager, ended up leaving the company. And so then I had, like, this woman who was the sweetest person ever. I love her to death. But she just didn't have the same clout as some of the other managers because she was in insight and I was in a marketing role. And so I was dotted line to a ABM, and I had this director of insight who was still doing insights work. Managing me was an opportunity for her. So, of course, the doesn't set you up as well as you could be set up if you had, you know, the manager who, you know, this is what they do and this is how, you know, they get it where they live it. And they're in those meetings and they're fighting for you and they're fighting for their interns. So these internships go all kinds of sideways. But what I want to talk to you guys first, I want you to walk us through, because what I'm hoping is that people who are going to be getting internships at some point, that they get to hear this before they get their internship. So first, I want you guys to walk us through, how did you get your internship and what made you decide to pick that company and that role? Like, what was some of your thought process at the time in hindsight?
Sure, I can go first.
Okay.
So I got my internship. I am a part of the Consortium for Graduate Study and Management, CGSM. For those of you who don't know, it's an organization devoted to increasing the representation of underrepresented minorities in higher education and in MBA programs. So I'm part of that. And they host an annual, what's called orientation program in the summer before you go to business school. And a part of that orientation is this big career fair where all of these major brands that will eventually come on campus are pre-recruiting. They're getting their first stab at the fresh MBAs who, you know, will be hot talent next summer. And the great thing about it is that you get a first dib on internships. But the bad thing is that you aren't always as prepared because you haven't been in school yet in the recruiting cycle. But anyway, I was fortunate enough, after going through a few, you know, rejections and a few like blunders, to land an internship with Google through the orientation program the summer before I started at Ross. So that's where I got the internship. And I was really looking for marketing roles. I went to Michigan specifically for marketing. And at the time, I was interested in potentially doing brand management. But when Google came along, I actually interviewed for marketing and ad sales, and for whatever reason, was picked for ad sales rather than marketing. So I, at that point, I had to choose, do I want to do this ad sales role, which I wasn't too thrilled about ad sales. However, I knew that being on the cusp of digital media, online marketing would still be very, very relevant to everything I wanted to do. So that's why I ultimately said yes.
Wow. So, Jessica, what about you? How did you get your internship?
So I actually got my internship. I guess my path starts a couple of years back, in that I had known about the company, which was, you know, really a major runner in CPG industry for quite some time. So because, you know, I had family members who had been working for the company, and I also had already interned in the sales capacity, had been offered a job upon graduation from undergrad, but decided, you know, I'm going to go ahead and take this full ride to go ahead and get my master's. Take advantage of it. And so I didn't end up taking that sales job, and instead went forth into my first year of the MBA program at the University of Alabama. Upon going into that first year, I made sure that I was really involved in terms of extracurriculars outside of my coursework and my graduate assistantship. And I spent countless hours each semester doing contract work within consulting for a variety of different companies. And one of the competitions in which we attended was through the National Black MBA Association. So like Consortium, this is also another major organization that focuses on networking and job opportunities for minority business leaders. And they host one of the largest conventions and job like kind of forums for individuals that are seeking internships as well as full-time job opportunities after graduating with their MBAs. And after attending that convention, I quite literally was passing by this major corporation's booth. And, you know, obviously I'm very keen to it. Went right up there with my resume. I said, I've already interned for y'all in the past. So what type of opportunities are available for me, you know, now that I'm at the MBA level? And I knew at the time of completing my undergrad coursework and having interned within the sales function, I knew I wanted to be more creative, more strategic in how I was leading, you know, business kind of goals for an organization. And so I thought that marketing was a great aspect of that that I could hone in on. And so that's where I came to marketing for this major CPG firm and applied and interviewed literally the next day. Pretty long interviews, but that's how I came about this company through the National Black MBA Association.
Let me ask you guys this. In hindsight, what did you learn from your summer? Like, what would you tell incoming first years to do differently?
So I'll go ahead. This is Jessica. I'll go ahead first. And I guess the reason why this is so kind of top of mind for me is because I'm literally, like, we're right now, as we're having this conversation, we're sitting at the very end of many internships, right? And so just a year ago in 2017, I found myself in this place where I was thinking about all the things that I could have done or would do upon graduation when I received my first full-time offer that, you know, would be different from what I had experienced in my internship. And so one of the things that I would recommend someone, if they're looking for, like, first day of their brand new internship, is to understand your project goals and get clarity on that and eliminate as much ambiguity as possible by networking with, like, crucial champions throughout your internship process, and not just people that are, like, you know, cheering you on, rah, rah, like, you've got this, but people who actually have a say in whether or not you get the full-time offer.
I would agree with that, and definitely about the clarity piece. I think the biggest thing that you'll have as an intern is that project, right? Everyone has a summer project, and as much clarity as you can get on that is, you know, as much clarity as you can get is really helpful. But also finding someone who will give you the real deal, and that's hard to find, like someone who will kind of break down the corporate culture a little bit, because as you're trying to figure out this project, right, it's a real project, you have to hunt down information and research. It's also really important to understand the culture that you're working within, because a lot of times, yes, the project is important, but it's people that will make or break you, right? You know, it's who are you engaging the right stakeholders, you know, to use that word. Are you pleasing who you need to be pleasing? And are you making your manager look good in the way he or she wants to look good? So it's super, super political. I find that, at least in my experience, judgments will be made about you very quickly as an intern. You know, it's a intern class. So you're being analyzed against peers, against previous interns who you don't even know from 5 years ago. So you have to keep all of that in mind.
It's important, I think, for people to understand that a couple things. Number one, for Jessica in particular, if you find yourself without a lot of working years before you go back to get your MBA, make sure that you really find the right advocates and that your project, and we talked about this in the last episode with Jessica, that your project is very clear and to the point. and that you make it very clear to people, like, hey, I think something, because Jessica, you are very mature in how you carry yourself and you're very positive. Jessica, I don't think that the organization realized that you didn't have the work experience prior to, like, some of your peers may have had. Like, you went straight through from undergrad to grad school. And I think what happens when that happens is that there's some experiences that you just don't have. And not that that should be a detriment to you, but I think it should be taken into consideration. And I don't think it was, because of the fact that, you know, you had interned with the company before, so you had company knowledge. But I think the expectation, I don't know if the expectation on you was very fair. And the reason why I say that is because the project that you did receive was so ambiguous and so out there that, you know, it didn't quite make sense for you to have that project. And so something that I would tell people now is, like, hey, if you get a project and it is convoluted. It, you know, if you have multiple people in the organization scratching their heads around your project, then you need to really get serious and sit down with some people and say, hey, I'm not the only one that's, you know, struggling to understand what the outcome or expected outcome of this project is. So that's what I would do differently too. I had the same issue. I had this project during my internship, and in hindsight, I didn't know better to take into consideration the total portfolio for the company. And so I was told, hey, take this brand and revamp it. That's what I was told. But I didn't get clear direction on what the company's real priorities were. So I kind of went off in my silo, did my project, did my research, came up with concepts, all this other stuff, only to get lambasted by the, I'll never forget this, the director of Listerine at the time. During my presentation, she was like, so why should we take money away from Listerine and invest it in Rembrandt? Now that I'm older, and I think more as a manager, I realized, like, oh, I don't know if that is a good business decision or not. You know, I was just told I needed to fight for this brand. But in hindsight, you know, there was a lot of coaching that I just wasn't getting. And that's important for you to surround yourself with two or three key people in the organization that's going to coach you through the bigger picture things that, you know, people aren't readily going to tell the interns. So that's what I would tell people that I would do differently. I try to see the big picture and try to make sure I understand how my project fits into the company's big picture to get a clear picture on what it is that they really want you to deliver, and understand there's a difference between what you probably should deliver and what the organization wants you to deliver.
Definitely good.
That's what I would do. But do you think there's anything you could have done differently to get the offer? Michaela, you want to go first?
Sure. So looking back, you know, I think as an intern, I was definitely dealing with a lot of imposter syndrome. And when you deal with imposter syndrome, you act in a way that's really not beneficial. So you're trying to, at least for me, I was trying to not to look as capable as possible. And that fear of looking, you know, dumb or less than led me to not ask as many questions as I could have, you know, like we talked about before, about gaining as much clarity as possible, or not asking for as much help as I could have. I also didn't want to bother people. You know, everyone was busy, everyone was working, and I didn't want to be that intern that like can't figure out her own ish. And all of those feelings are, you know, in hindsight, when I look back, they're just ridiculous, because I'm only there for 10 weeks. Of course I need help. Of course I need to lean on people heavily who work there full time. And so if I was to go back in time, I would have that mentality of like, listen, I'm only here for 10 weeks. I got to do what I got to do. Being respectful, of course, but just being way more proactive and aggressive about getting answers. That said, I had a project that it was kind of one of, I would think of, it was more like an idealistic project, a project of, well, let's see, you know, what the intern comes up with, because this is something we still haven't been able to figure it out. Even to this day, I know for a fact this is an ongoing thing. This is not something that can be figured out in one summer. So I almost sometimes look back and wonder what was the purpose of my project. Not what was the purpose, but how could success truly be measured with that project?
Yeah. I would definitely echo that. Looking back, I would definitely say that I could have also been more aggressive. And I've learned, like, to stop being this, like, demure, inexperienced person on the inside. right? Because while I did have a positive energy about me, while I did seem like a go-getter, I psyched myself out by looking at the competition around me and knowing that everyone else had more experience than I did. And so oftentimes that played into my self-confidence and my ability to ask critical partners, like, what the heck is going on here? Like, I'm not just the only one looking at this crazy. Like, I know that other people are also confused by this ambiguous project. So I definitely would have liked to trust my gut more, because from the beginning, I knew something was off. And I should have had more self-confidence, or would have wished that I had the self-confidence and just the assurity in my own talents, right? That I could be able to ask the questions and not get a demerit for still asking a question and not just saying, like, I can do anything, I'm a superhero. So I definitely think that that would have helped at least my peace of mind throughout the summer.
Yeah, I think one thing we all fall prey to as employees of color is the idea that if we ask for help, it may seem like we're incompetent or we're lacking something. And that's the last thing you want to come across as. And so it's like a catch-22 or double-edged sword. It's like, you really need to ask for help. And I've fallen prey to this so many times, you guys. In my own internship, I needed to ask for help, and I didn't until, like, it was too late. I think what I would, you know, what I would tell people, you know, to, as they go into their internship, is just be the person of a million questions. And no question is too dumb. Really work to find those advocates, those people who, like, brought you into the organization, people who went to your same school, or, you know, people who really, you know, see your potential and they want the best for you. Stay close to those people during your 10 or 12 weeks and ask just the dumbest questions that you can think of that need to be asked, and don't be afraid or ashamed to ask, because a lot of times the questions are not dumb. They're really good questions. We're just afraid to come off as lacking knowledge or intelligence or what have you. But what do they say? Pride goeth before the fall. So don't do that. So the biggest takeaway I want people to have from this episode, though, is that you will land where you are supposed to land. So I want to take you guys back to that dark day when you found out you didn't get the offer. What did you do in those next 24 hours? Do you guys remember?
Oh, yes. So, yeah, that dark day, I remember the torture of actually waiting to hear whether or not I got the offer or not. And for some reason, that summer, it was like a really drawn out process where I didn't hear back. And a lot of people, it wasn't just me. So the day, I definitely remember clearly the day I heard back from my internship. It was a long awaited call, because for some reason that summer, a lot of us, I guess they were just struggling to figure out where they were placing people. So I didn't end up hearing back from them till October. And my internship ended in August.
So that is a long time.
That was torture. So not only am I, you know, on pins and needles for months, but so at that time it was fall break for us at Michigan. So I was in Miami with my then boyfriend, now husband, and getting ready to hit the beach, get some drinks. And when the call came in, I thought, oh, this is about to be good news. So, you know, we're really about to drink and celebrate. But it wasn't good news. And, you know, I was just so blown and also really frustrated because I've been waiting for so long. So it was just like, wow, you know, you're going to call me now that I'm on fall break, supposed to be having a happy time with this terrible news. I didn't say that, of course, but that's how I was feeling. I was pissed. And, you know, I cried tears of frustration, tears of a little bit of like, oh, you know, what am I going to do? Embarrassment, all these thoughts go through your mind. And afterwards, I did, you know, what we were going to do. We went out, we celebrated, we ate. And for that moment in time, just said, you know what? I have plenty of time to figure this out the rest of the year. Right now I'm in Miami and I'm going to enjoy that. And so that's what I chose to do in those 24 hours.
Well, I'm glad you were somewhere where you were with your now husband.
Yes, I'm so glad he was there.
Yes, and that listen, look at you now. what does Chris Brown say? He's getting paper. Look at me now. Listen, I've learned these jobs are truly it's like dating. What one won't do for you, another one will. Another one will come along. It's like boyfriends and buses. Like, this, just wait 5 minutes. Another one comes right along. And so I'm glad that you didn't wallow in it and that you were somewhere happy with happy people and know that it's not the end of the world, because it feels like it. Like, you just feel so horrible. And I don't know why you feel so horrible, but I know I did.
I know, right? Like, looking back, it's almost like comical. It's like, girl, why were you so dramatic? But at the time, it feels like the end of the world because you're in a bubble. Business school is this bubble. And, you know, by October, people had already gotten offers. And so you just feel like, oh, wow, I'm the only one who didn't get an offer.
The crazy thing about waiting until October here is that National Black was over at that point.
Right, right.
So that would have really, I would have been pissed. But did you go to National Black at all? Or are you just...
No, I didn't go to National Black. And you know what it was too, Felicia? So I was never someone who fit in the typical business school boxes. So it was really hard for me, having gone through OP and realizing that I didn't fit in these boxes or wasn't interested in a lot of these roles. It was really hard for me to do the typical recruiting process. So I didn't go through the typical recruiting process because I realized early on that, look, I'm interested in marketing, but I'm interested in social media, digital marketing, and these companies, that's not what they're doing. What they're doing is very important, and it is very important. I do see why people go through that route of being a brand manager, assistant brand manager, what have you. But what about these Facebook analytics, though?
You know,
everything I'm using in my company now, I wanted to continue to learn that. And so I needed a job that was focused on online marketing. And as such, I had to look for roles outside off-campus recruiting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which that's actually a good thing. I'm telling you now, I was looking at a role with a company today, and I got an email from the recruiter saying, hey, we just want to understand, you know, how much experience do you have with digital marketing? And, you know, with what I do as a brand manager, that is still relatively new to this discipline, right? Like, it now becomes a part of your 360 tactics that you execute when you execute a marketing campaign. And so I had to explain that, you know, that's in there. I do have the experience. But it's important, you know, the things that seem far-fetched today or yesterday are important today. And so you just don't want to leave any stone unturned. And when you know, the cool thing is, Nikayla, you knew what you wanted to do. A lot of people don't know what they want to do. But you knew what you wanted to do, and I commend you for sticking to your guns and sticking in that lane of your interest, because there's a lot of people coming at you. There's a lot of people telling you, well, hey, you could do this, or what about this, or what about our company, and pulling at you, and it gets enticing. You know, you start getting a little bit of FOMO.
Right. Oh, I had a lot of FOMO, and you're giving me way too much credit, because, yes, I knew what I didn't want to do, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I wasn't quite sure what role would encapsulate it. And at the end of the day, the reality was there was no role. That's why I ended up having to create my own role now. But
there are things you can learn from companies. And what I've ultimately found out was I needed to go to a company that could fine-tune skills that I wanted to use for my eventual business. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew what I didn't want to do, which was helpful. I knew right. I didn't want to, you know, work on marketing campaigns for, you know, whatever. I'm not gonna I'm not gonna diss my company. I'm just saying. And you know what? Location was also huge for me, right? I was in a relationship, right. a serious relationship that I knew, you know, I wanted to be close to that person. So I wasn't about to move to Cincinnati or right. A lot of the places where CPG companies are.
Right. Boo-foo, Midwest.
Yes,
this is true. And I have lived in Boo-foo, Midwest, too. So in my career.
But I just wanted to add that, you know, towards the end when I didn't have a job, I was applying for everything. I was like, take me. Somebody take me.
And they did. Which is the moral of the story. We right. are all, well, we will all be employed. It's not the end of the world. That is the message. If anybody takes away anything from this, is that one, Jessica, okay, from the last episode with Jessica, she did not get the offer. That was our little cliffhanger. But she does have a great job in a great company that really sees her potential and wants to pour into her and really wants to groom her to be a leader for their organization. Right, Jessica?
Yeah. I mean, definitely compared to how I felt when I got the news. I mean, I'll be quite frank about it. Like, I knew it wasn't in. Because it's like, you know, when you're an overachiever your whole life, you know what the feeling is to win. Like, you're like, I got this. Like, you know what's coming down the pipeline for you because it's what always came. But right. that moment that you realize something is different, it's like this feeling in the air, right? That you're like, wait, this is not right. This is not something I'm used to. This is very uncomfortable. That's how I felt all summer. And there was something inside of me. I mean, and I guess that this is also helpful advice. I mean, and I think you pull on your devices, which really are like guides for you in your life. For me, that meant really getting in touch with like my inner self and spirituality and understanding what is right for me is right for me. And if it's not granted to me, then that means that it wasn't meant for my life at this time. And who knows if it was meant at all, you know, it just taught me a valuable lesson that helped me get to where I am today. And so I definitely look back. I mean, honestly, like, I'm a little closer to my experience, so I'm not going to say that I laugh yet.
Oh, I didn't laugh for, like, a year, and I don't even know how long.
Because you know, it's just a little, it stings still because I'm like, I know that I'm capable. I know that I contribute value. And I know that I am a bright mind. And you cannot tell me without a shadow of a doubt that there was not a single person at that organization that didn't see that. And that's where I'm like, okay, you know what? Whoever that higher power is for you, whoever that person is, whatever that force is, it's a force that works in mysterious ways. And I know that I'm now contributing that value in an effortless manner. Something that is so seamless and natural for me now that I'm like, well, duh, I knew that wasn't right for me because now it feels second nature for me to be performing in the workplace and executing strategy on major initiatives, having ownership over goals for 2019 that I'm like, y'all want me to run this project? You know? I mean, that to me is like, there's a reason why this is so natural and there was a reason why that was not natural for me.
Yes.
And I'm just honored and blessed to be where I am today and to finally be understanding of that mission in my life.
I hear that 100%. I will say, yes, that sting is going to go away. It lasted for too long with me. And I think I was holding on to it. It wasn't until I heard a quote from someone else who, you know, they just shared that your failure is not a stamp. Like that has nothing to do with you as a person. It's not like, oh, Nikayla's a failure. It's like, this thing didn't work out. That's it. It's a moment in time and it's over. And hearing them talk about that, it finally clicked to me that I was holding on to this because I felt like this not getting the offer was a reflection on me as a person, of my intelligence, of my worth and all this other stuff. And you don't think that you let something affect you like that, but I was doing that. And then it's once I was able to let go of that baggage, like, hey, this is just for whatever multitude of reasons, some I will never understand, right? Because I'm not in those conversations when they're judging me and evaluating me. So some I will never understand. It just didn't work out. But I also believe in the higher power. And for me, that's God. And I 100% believe that I was not meant to get that offer. Because if I had gotten that offer, I would not be doing what I'm doing today. Like, it's impossible. So I ultimately believe that it was just meant to happen that way because it changed me as a person for the better.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it was a Shark Tank experience. And I'm always thinking back, I'm like, I have to remind myself that I am no longer in an internship. Like, I don't leave next week. You know, like, I'm still here in D.C., like, working and going into the office. And it's like, Jessica, you know, I have to tell myself, like, every single day when I'm going in or working on projects, I'm like, okay, got to get home, got to race home so that I can just get on my laptop and then work through the night. And I'm like, wait, that's what I used to have to do when I was constantly proving myself and proving my worth in a situation where people, I think, already had a misconception or some type of perception formed around me and my work experiences. And so I had to overcompensate. This now is a marathon. This is not a sprint. This is the rest of my life. This is my career. And I need to, you know, find my groove, like run at a steady pace so that I can keep on upping myself and my own expectations and not trying to overcompensate for how low someone else's expectations are for me. I don't know.
You guys, I'm telling you, like, we are on the back end of somebody's experience, and I'm hoping that come, you know, the next couple weeks that people, this makes it around the circuit of, you know, just freshly ended internships, and before they start to get the news of whether or not they got their offers or not, and that they really, you know, take the 24 hours to mourn the loss of the internship, because I think that's important to.
And I'm sorry, Felicia, I gotta step in. And if you tell yourself that you're gonna cry one tear, and that is it, and you're never crying over them again, it's okay if that tear is it. But if it is also okay if 5 months later you're still applying for jobs and you got 50 saved searches in LinkedIn and you're crying again. Because it may happen, but that doesn't mean you need to be hard on yourself about it. Because it definitely happened to me.
Exactly. And you just, and it's a process. It's all a process. And I think what's hardest is that you feel like this process is a reflection on your capability, and it's not. Most of the you getting an internship or not is a reflection on what's happening in that organization. It's a reflection on who your manager is, what their likability in the organization is, if people are being honest with you about information, about how the, you know, behind the scenes wheels are turning and working in the organization. Some people are just set up better in their internships than others. And it's okay either way. Your job as somebody who has an internship for your summer, your job is to get as much knowledge and as much experience out of the opportunity as you can, and to have good, strong nuggets to talk to when you're looking at other full-time opportunities. Because even if you get an offer, you should still be interviewing and looking at other opportunities. You should not just be happy, settle, take the offer. You need to make sure you understand what your worth in the market is. And the only way you do that is by entertaining other companies. So that would be my, you know, final advice for everybody out there listening. I'm excited to get this out and let people know, like, hey, here we are, very accomplished women in our own right, and with the world is our oyster still, and we did not get our summer internship offers from our MBA programs. And that's the trillest thing I've probably said all week. Well, it's Monday, but still.
Start.
real quick, the last thing I want to talk about is you don't get the offer. What are your next steps? So you cry about it and get over it, but what are your next steps to start looking for and landing a full-time job? Do you guys remember what you did?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. If you're a normal person, you go to Career Services, you tap into the student resources. There are a lot of helpful resources that make your student peers, like the MBA twos, they become career, I forget what it's called, but they also help out peers in different sectors, industry sectors. So that is something else that you can lean on at Ross. However, at the time, like I said, I was over it. I was over recruiting. I was over trying to pick one of these boxes to fit into. And at the time, I'd already signed up to study abroad. So I went to Barcelona that next semester and just ate my way through Europe. I did some informational calls. I did some informationals via Skype and things like that, and started to research entrepreneurial companies and digital media startups that I might want to work for on the East Coast, because I knew I wanted to be on the East Coast. So that's what I spent my next semester doing. And then when I got back to school, hit the ground running, applying for more just-in-time opportunities, as they call them in business school. Why we have all this jargon. But anyway, looking to apply to companies that were still hiring for MBA roles. You know, I let people in my inner circle know that I trusted. I tapped into Career Services a bit just to, you know, strengthen, make sure my resume was up to snuff, get some cover letter resources and things like that. And those were really my next steps. It was really just a grind of continuing that process of applying, interviewing, whatever that, you know, some of my peers were doing earlier in the year, until eventually I was able to secure a role, which happened for me post-graduation.
Yeah.
But you still got a role. Want that?
Eventually.
Which I know can be nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
But that's what I want people to know. You will get a job. You're going to have to work.
Yep.
That's what I tell everybody. You're going to work.
Yeah.
I don't really know anybody who graduates from an MBA program and does not work, unless their parents are like filthy rich and they're like trust fund babies.
Mm, there's a couple of those. it became my second job. Quite honestly, like this was the ranking of priority in terms, it was like finding a job first, which meant I honed in on all my best, like, sales and marketing skills, and crafted like different tailored messaging for each and every employer, fit each of my cover letters to match exactly what they were seeking, like did really granular research to make sure that I was drawing parallels and associations between everything they were looking for and a piece of my former work experience that matched exactly that. So that was a grind, and I got a lot of bites. More bites than I had expected, because it was a lot of like, it just like cold calling is. But I was literally pitching myself to random like directors for different major corporations that had jobs posted. So a lot of that. I also utilized like our, you know, corporate resource center at my university, but quite honestly, I did a lot of my own work on that end. And then, yeah, just did a lot of hoping and praying. And I went to literally every networking opportunity that I could fathom. And being in your second year of your MBA program, normally they say, like, you should be focusing on work. You shouldn't be doing, like, you know, all these business competitions. But I still went And that is where I got my largest offers from, was from major, major wins at those business competitions, and networking with corporate leaders there, and flew anywhere I could, basically said, you know, bump class and coursework right now. Like, I got how to do this. I need to get a job.
Right.
And flew wherever I could in the country to be in front of those corporate leaders. Had a lot of great options. And that's when I actually had a choice of, like, out of these four, you know, four or five, what do I really want to do here?
So do you remember interviewing, did anybody ask you guys if you got the offer or not during your interview?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Ever asked me.
I don't think, yeah, well, I was just trying to remember it. I don't think that ever came up. Like,
oh man. Well, when you drop a big name, usually they, I got it. I've actually received it two or three times from other major names. And they want to know, they ask it in this way. They say, well, oh my gosh, such a great opportunity. So, you know, obviously, you know, are they still on the table? You know, why not them? Why are you interviewing with us right now? And then you talk a little bit, right? And then they ask a follow-up question. Oh, so did you receive the offer or no? Like, that's how it leads into, you've got to be quite frank with them. And you've got to take hold of the conversation at that point and steer it in your favor. So, and you can still be ambiguous of whether or not you got the offer. You just need to take ownership of, you know, in this stage of my life, I wanted to make a pivot and I knew that I didn't want to be, you know, in CPG anymore. I wanted to go to something with more long-term fulfillment opportunities and growth, IT, fintech, et cetera, and then shift the entire conversation and ask them a question to make them leave that alone.
And now that you mention it, I know that, so what I would do when they would have kind of like the walk me through your resume type of question, you know, people phrase it in different ways, but whenever that would come up, I would walk through my experience in a way where, just like Jessica's saying, I would take ownership of that narrative, and I would just talk about, you know, and then I interned with Google where I did this, and then after that, realizing I wanted to shift, move my life back to Washington, D.C., I'm now looking for opportunities here in this. So I made it more about my, what I was looking for rather than, and so it didn't come up in my conversations after that, because I'd already let them know, like, this was a great experience, I learned this and that. And then I learned that I wanted to take that. I definitely wanted to come back to Washington, D.C., not stay in California, because I'd interned out in California. So it was an easy kind of spin for me. That said, if anyone ever directly asked me, so people did ask me a few times, just randomly, once I was already working for the company. And then I was very direct about it. And I guess it's easier once you know you have the job, but if I was ever asked directly, I did answer directly, and I didn't, you know, try to sugarcoat it, but I always made sure people knew that I had ownership of this as well. And I know what I want for my life. And I definitely didn't want to do ad sales. So that was 100% truth. It was not for me.
Ad sales doesn't seem exciting. No offense to anybody who does ad sales.
Yeah, but... no offense to anyone. I think it's a means to an end. I think it's a great experience and lens into how people are targeting you online and the information and what you can do with it and customer acquisition. It is a great means to an end.
That is awesome. Well, you guys, our hour is up, and I want to thank you so very much for being on the show. Is there anything that you guys, any last minute advice or one last burning thing that you guys have thought of that you want our listeners to know?
I just want you guys to know that it'll be okay whether you get the offer or not. And even if you do get the offer, really make sure that it's what you want. So I've seen people go into industries they don't love just because it's the only offer they got. They didn't want to recruit anymore. Really take ownership of your life and think about what you want from it. And don't be scared to walk away from something that doesn't serve you.
Right. Yeah. Don't definitely never feel bad about whatever the verdict was. because I can say for a fact that each and every one of the individuals who I know that didn't get an offer from my class are now working for the top most like high-tech reputable firms in the nation right now. I mean, the Microsofts of the world, Tesla, Salesforce, etc. So you gotta own it as part of your journey and know that there's always, always, always a rainbow at the end. So.
Amen. And on that note, you guys, I want to say thank you. This is going to be such an important show for there's a contingent of people out here who need to hear this. Their little souls are about to ache this week, and they are aching right now as they find out if they got their offers or not. And they're going to be lost and confused. But definitely I want to put together like a one-page guide for people who are, you know, coming back and they don't know what they're like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? And it's very simple. You start hitting the pavement, right? Like you said, Jessica, I wasn't worried about class. I already know how to do class. I swear to God, like I was gone the vast majority of my first semester, second year. I was flying all over the country interviewing. So I interviewed with 17 different companies because I was just on a mission. I wanted to get an offer before I went to study abroad my second year. And once you put your mind to it, and you're like, I want this kind of job, I know I want to do this type of work, this is what I learned from my summer internship, you go forth and you do your due diligence, and I guarantee you, if you stay the course, you will land some great opportunities, some great offers from companies that you might not even had considered before. So I think there's a blessing behind getting a no sometimes. And I hope that this is one of those times where you can wipe your tears away and say, okay, there's going to be a blessing that comes out of this. I just can't see it today. And trust us, we've been there. So we're here to tell you today that you not getting that offer is still a blessing. Count it all joy. So on that note, you guys, I want everybody to keep it trill. Until next week, we will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Anuha. Music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.